The title of my message for this first Sunday of Advent is Sacred Now. Now, perhaps I have never been more aware than I am this fall of how we never know how much time we have, how much now we have been given. Jesus confirms this unknown in today's somewhat puzzling, somewhat unsettling gospel text. Instead of worrying about the future, he tells us it is important to live in the now, to be prepared, and to stay alert. This reading is part of a larger teaching from Jesus, where he talks not only about the importance of being prepared, but how such faithfulness will be praised and rewarded and recognized. The additional parables he offers are likely familiar to us. The story of the 10 bridesmaids waiting for the groom's arrival, 5 of whom brought extra oil for their lamps in case he comes late, 5 of whom did not. The parable about 3 servants, each given differing amounts of money to keep for their master. 2 invest wisely, doubling their trust, while 1 foolishly buries his talent and earns nothing for it. And the story, the parable about the separation of sheep and goats, the distinction being those who have fed the hungry, given drink to the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, cared for those in need, visited the imprisoned, those are the ones who have done God's work in the world. To be prepared, Jesus tells us, is to be active. Paul's letter to the Romans, Eugene Peterson's translation, says, "Don't lose track of the time and doze off. Don't squander these precious daylight hours." Our task and our responsibility is to do the work of God in the world, to make the most of our sacred now. As a congregation, we do that in many ways, each of us giving as we are gifted and enabled. So some people support the food pantry with financial gifts, and some by doing the physical work of preparing food baskets or delivering meals. We give drink to the spiritually thirsty by sustaining this church so this pastor can be available to church members and community members. We give drink to the spiritually thirsty when we participate in Bible study. We give drink to the spiritually thirsty when we support others in prayer and walk beside them through the peaks and valleys of life. We welcome the stranger when we support in word or in deed the mission of the refugee center. We welcome the hurting when we commit to learning what racism is and how it impacts persons of color, and then work to do better in our own lives, our workplaces, our communities, our church. We welcome the disenfranchised when we weep with our LGBTQ siblings over lives lost in a nightclub shooting. And then also when we work to dismantle the walls of prejudice and hatred to create safer communities for all. We care for those in need when we visit the lonely, sit beside the grieving, deliver groceries for the homebound, provide meals for those who struggle to make ends meet or to juggle the responsibilities of work and home and childcare and elder care. We show love to the imprisoned through support for jail ministries, but also through lobbying for reforms that treat all persons with dignity and respect, and through creating opportunities for those released from prison to fully participate in society again. You may have noticed in the newsletter that I provided you with a kindness Advent calendar. I offered you suggestions for every day in the month of December, and it is not a complete list, but it may spark ideas to help you find ways to live a sacred now in this season of Advent, these 4 weeks between now and Christmas. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, the moment more than 2,000 years ago when God came to dwell among us in the person of Jesus. In Advent, we profess that Christ will dwell on earth once again at some future time. Meanwhile, we live in the in-between. But friends, I think the incarnation is already here. God is already here. It's already happening. I think that because On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus promised the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit would live in us, his followers, would teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus taught. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to the disciples in a sound like wind and an appearance like fire, and they began to speak and teach and preach in ways that conveyed faithfully their understanding of God's mercy and Jesus' love. And at our baptism, and again at our confirmation as members of the church, we acknowledge that gift of Holy Spirit for and in ourselves. And every time we take the bread and cup of communion, we are remembered into the household of faith. The bread and the cup are for us symbols of God's indwelling in us. And in receiving them, we renew our commitment to bring God's love and grace into the world. If the incarnation means God dwelling in the world, then I tell you the divine is already here. Sacred is already happening now. Let this Advent season be for us a time to proclaim it. Ebenezer Scrooge, in Charles Dickens' classic tale, A Christmas Carol, must face the question of what to do with the time he has been given. On a particular Christmas Eve, Scrooge is visited by the ghost of his former partner, Jacob Marley. The phantom Marley is bound in chains, which he says he forged during his time on Earth. The links represent the missed opportunities, the ways he might have offered kindness and mercy and even love to others, but chose not to see their needs. Marley tells Scrooge he will then be visited by three spirits who each have something to reveal to him. The first is the ghost of Christmas past, which helps Scrooge to remember his childhood and his youth when joy and hope and love informed his worldview and his heart begins to soften. The next is the ghost of Christmas present, which shows him how other households are celebrating the holiday. His clerk, Bob Cratchit, and family making merry as best they are able on his meager income. His nephew Fred, surrounded by wife and friends, making fun of Scrooge's miserly ways, but in the end, generously offering a Christmas toast to him nonetheless. And finally, the ghost of Christmas yet to come shows Scrooge what will happen in the lives of the people he knows if nothing changes. Scrooge will have no true friends to mourn him. His housekeeper and laundress will sell off even the blankets and the curtains from his bedroom. The Cratchit family will mourn the loss of their young son, whose health suffered the most from the family's poverty. Scrooge awakens on Christmas morning, a changed man, eagerly opening his purse to give liberally to the prison fund, to tip generously the boy he hires to deliver that prize turkey to the Cratchit household, to raise Bob's salary and assist the family, even to accept the invitation to dine with his nephew and renew the ties of kinship. And from that day on, Dickens tells us it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. You see, Scrooge embraced the incarnation, learned the art of sacred now, to hear God, to see God's children in all places, and to do what was in his power to share love and kindness to others. Friends, may we in this Advent season do our best to live in the sacred now. May we let go of our fears about the future and our preoccupation with the to-do list. May we spend our now becoming aware of God wherever we go, whatever we do. May we truly be present in the time we spend with our family and friends. May we be blessed to see the incarnation in all things, including in ourselves. And may God bless us, everyone. Amen.